I have not met that many celebrities.
Would we say that I've met them?
Or you've
encountered.
You've intimidated them with celery and knives.
Possibly threatened them with vegetables. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Kapower Hour. I'm Lauren Powell.
And I'm Sean Casey.
And we are
the Kapows.
Kapow! We just took our baby moon. We just got back.
Our kababy moon. Kapowy moon. That's getting
doesn't
cut.
Doesn't work for it.
And I know the look in her eyes. She's like, nope, that's not making it.
Not making it. So we just got back 3 days ago. Yesterday was like our official first like work day. I gotta say, we were gone for a Friday to a Friday. So that's like 8 days. Coming back, sitting at the computer.
Working is weird.
That's not fun.
It's hard.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Being at a computer all day versus being at a beach all day.
Yeah. So let's just quickly and briefly address the elephant in the room about our baby moon. We went to Kauai for a baby moon, which is in Hawaii. It is like two islands away from the island of Maui, which is where the
terrible wildfires were happening.
Crazy tragedy happened. The wildfire started, they either started or it reached like mainstream public awareness Wednesday before our trip. And we were following the news all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, trying to see like, was our airline going to get shut down?
Was our hotel going to get shut down?
We're waiting for emails, waiting for direction from the state, like whoever, to see if like, should we come or should we not come?
But in our minds, we're also knowing that Kauai is 250 miles away from Maui.
Right.
And like, we checked the weather and was not like, we checked the air quality because right. of the baby. And like, by all accounts, didn't seem to be affected by yeah. the wildfires.
Everything I could see on the news was that Maui, all the airlines in Maui were offering people like free change fees, reduced flights to get out of Maui. That was all what I could see just in the like 36 to 48 hours, less than 48 hours that we had before we left Friday morning. That's kind of the information that we had to go off of, and we made the decision to go. So Sunday, we'd been there for a few days and I posted some photos and I got like a lot of backlash. There's a lot of different opinions about why I was receiving backlash.
They don't realize that Kauai is not Maui.
Right.
That those aren't the same place. And, you know, right. Hawaii consists of a bunch of different islands.
So some people feel like I was going to the island where the wildfires were, that we were taking up hotel rooms for people that lost their homes. And some people argued that, you know, by going and being a tourist in these cities, we're forcing workers who would like to have the time off to grieve or to not be stressed out about the fire. So by the influx of tourism still coming to an island, we were making it harder. We were putting a strain on all the people of Hawaii. And then people are also upset that I didn't acknowledge Maui at all and that I didn't post any donation links.
Well, then there was also the people who are like, I know that Kauai is not Maui, and I know, you know, basically what's going on. And they were saying that we're taking up a hotel room for people who are going to be flown or boated from Maui to Kauai. That's right. The equivalent of being like, oh, there are wildfires in Santa Barbara. People in San Diego shouldn't be staying in hotels.
Right.
And that's, you can even drive from Santa Barbara to right. San Diego. You cannot drive from right. Maui to Kauai. So
there's a Hyatt in Maui that posted, like, we've shut down our rooms to tourists. We are only opening our rooms to people affected by the tragedy. We actually ran into some honeymooners who, like, changed their travel plans around last minute to avoid going to Maui, to give up their hotel rooms.
Right.
Business owners in Maui have come out and said, please stop telling people not to visit. Tell them don't go to Lahaina. But there are other parts of the island that still need tourism and still need businesses. And people are losing shifts at jobs and losing jobs. And businesses right. are losing money because
people aren't coming.
Because there's been a, yeah. there was a message from the state that was like, don't come to Maui. As far as people being like, I can't believe you didn't mention it, that you didn't like bring awareness to this. I, you know, social media is very paralyzing. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you post about it, you're virtue signaling. If you don't post about it, that yeah. means you don't care. Because right. by the way, the only way to show that you care is to post on social media about it. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it means you're heartless.
We were making donations. We were doing things. But like, again, like you said, if we post that we're doing that, we're going to be trolled to death because we're posting that we're donating. And so like, that's just, it's just a, I think, like you said, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I understand that people like were upset that we posted without acknowledging Maui. I understand that point of view. And like, yes, maybe we should have like said something in the caption or something.
I understand that too. I just don't know what the right move would have been. Yeah. Cause it's weird to be like, here are some cute photos of us. What a tragedy in Maui. Like that's just so, that to me is tone deaf.
Mm-hmm. And this is not like a social issue where you have to take one side or the other.
Right.
This is, you know, they were like, I can't believe you're not bringing awareness to this. And it's like, this is on the front page of every news, yeah. every, you know, every TV station.
I'm not pro wildfire. Like,
right. We did not take this lightly. We did not make this decision without evaluating things.
And so after I posted that at the start of the baby moon, I just went kind of radio silent. I ended up sharing some donation links that a friend of mine had like organized into a Google Doc, someone who owns a business in Waikiki. Anyway, I stayed off social media. I honestly wasn't even sure I was going to do anything on social media. I just kind of wanted to take a break. And then I was like, you know what? No, I have all these cute photos that I want like personal memories of. So let me post them. And then, you know, then I got all this backlash. So then it was like, I had to turn comments off for my mental health. Cause it was like, I just don't want to read these comments anymore.
You're on your baby moon. This is supposed to be this relaxing, you know, like yeah. great last thing.
It's hard to talk about it. Cause then it sounds like we're trying to make ourselves the victims.
Right. We just got like, you know, while we were there, you were like, you know, we were upset that like you were receiving this backlash, but at the end of the day, it's like, hey, we didn't lose our house. We didn't lose, you know, family members. Right. So this is very insignificant.
Me getting backlash is nothing compared to, you know, what people lost and are still losing. Like it's still ongoing. So
the day we get back, the governor of Hawaii sends a message saying, please come to Maui. Just don't go to Lahaina.
Right.
Like basically reiterating what we were saying the whole time. Why would we not go and spend money and, you know, take part in tourism to support the island?
Because now all these businesses in Maui that didn't burn down, that weren't in an area affected, now their businesses are screwed.
Yep.
Because there's some confusing messaging happening. So
That
being said, we were fortunate enough that Kauai was amazing. We had a beautiful, beautiful baby moon. The island it's called the Garden Island. So it's a lot more lush and like green than maybe some of the other islands. I've only ever been to Maui, but it's also smaller in population. So our experience on Kauai was amazing.
Yeah. We had a blast. It just felt like you were in the middle of Jurassic Park the whole time.
Oh, it was phenomenal. It reminded me a lot of Costa Rica, mm-hmm. also because it was so naturey and just verdant and like
verdant.
Mountains. Ooh. Oh, verdant's one of my favorite words.
Wow. I don't know if I've ever heard you say verdant.
Well, I don't say it around you because I don't want to make you feel stupid.
Wow. Pregnant lady is feisty today.
It's not me. It's the baby.
Oh, it's the baby.
So our due date is November. I'm not going to say when, but November-ish, which means we will not be traveling home for Christmas for the first time in our entire relationship. We're not taking a newborn on an airplane. Absolutely not.
So this was our last time flying just us.
This was the last airplane we would both be on together, which meant we had to do it the Sean and Lauren way and wear matching outfits.
Yeah, obviously.
So I got like a little emotional on the plane because it was like the last time we're going to be. Why does everything make me so emotional? It's your fault, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, we just keep having these moments where it's like, wow, this is the last time we do this alone. This is the last time. And not, you know, obviously at some point in our life, we're going to go on vacation without our kids. Yeah. And, you know, but like there's a very clear divide in your life, pre-kids and post-kids. So it's like even our vacations without kids later in life are not going to be the same as they were pre-kids.
So this was our last time traveling in matching outfits with just the two of us.
Yep.
Because I knew we're definitely going to be dragging the baby down with us in this embarrassment that we do.
It's not embarrassing for me.
Which the internet does not believe. The internet cannot wrap their head around the fact that this was your idea. Everyone's just like, oh man, poor guy. That poor, poor guy. The things you do for your wife. Like, little do you know, started this idea.
It's me.
You thrive. You love it when I'm so uncomfortable.
I love it. I love when you're uncomfortable, and I love when other people are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just
tickles you.
It tickles me.
That was our last time wearing those outfits.
So we found these great outfits from Roosevelt's, matching shorts, matching shirts, and bucket hats.
A little tough for me to pull off matching outfits right now because of the bump outfit and many things.
I think we pulled it off pretty well. So they have a pattern called LaCroix, and they're patterned off of the LaCroix sparkling water cans. And so we had the pink LaCroix outfit on.
Everyone was like, is this for Barbie and Ken?
Yeah.
It's like, my husband's wearing pink long before Barbie and Ken came out.
I've been Ken for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we started off the trip with a bang like that. Okay, so what was your favorite part out of all the things we did?
We did so many fun things. It's really hard to pick. Our last day there was like maybe the best day I've ever had on any vacation. So
we did a lot that day.
We did a lot. And so this trip, we weren't, obviously you weren't drinking at all and I wasn't drinking a lot. So we were in bed before 10 p.m. every day and up by 6 a.m. every day.
Sometimes earlier. Just sometimes naturally. Earlier.
Yeah.
So I've never seen the sunrise so many times. Like, I think I could probably count on one hand prior to this trip the amount of times I've watched the sunrise.
And you might have been drunk staying up all night to see those.
And I've probably seen twice as many now.
I told Keith, my boss, I think I saw more sunrises this week than I've ever seen in the rest of my life. All right. So we woke up early. Our hotel has this amazing deck that like looks out on Hanalei Bay.
This hotel, it's called the One Hotel. Apparently it used to be like the St. Regis of Princeville or something. It's stunning. It's phenomenal. Coincidentally, Kourtney Kardashian just stayed there. That is not why I picked this place. We'd already made the reservation when she posted. Like, the location is stunning.
Yeah. And so they have this like breakfast spot where like you can just order breakfast and a coffee and sit out on this like elevated terrace that's just like watching the sunrise from here, like over the bay and everything. It was just stunning. So we woke up, we got coffee. We thought we were getting coffee.
Oh, yeah.
So we're looking at the menu and it's like,
I love how like sometimes I'm like, let's spend all the money. And then sometimes I'm so cheap.
Yeah, we're talking about the difference between like a dollar
or $2. I looked at the coffee menu and it was going to be $9 for a latte, which is just criminal. And so a macchiato was only $7. And I was like, oh, a macchiato, it's just
basically the same
it's
thing.
It's just less milk, which is great because, you know, dairy makes me bloat. So I was like asking the barista, I was like, can we get 2 macchiatos? Too many like flavored syrups you can put in there.
She gave me the weirdest look.
And then can you also add, what milks do you have? Can I get non-fat milk? It comes out in a little
espresso glass, like even small, a shot glass
of espresso with a dollop of foam.
And we just look at each other and start laughing. It's like, okay.
Should have got the latte.
But to be fair, I have ordered macchiatos and gotten like a regular cup of coffee before. So
I just thought it was like a cappuccino, but different.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with you. I was not expecting
it
that.
It was just comical.
It was very like, comical.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, glad this we saved those
$2.
$2 to get nothing. But we had amazing cinnamon rolls.
Rolls in Hawaii.
Oh, so good.
What do they do different? This is the last time we were in Hawaii. That was my favorite breakfast item.
I think it was like because it's cream cheese.
I've had cream cheese. I am a cinnamon roll aficionado.
Yeah.
I'm a cinnamon roll spurt.
That's getting
cut. You can put spurt on anything. Come to find out. Cream cheese is the goat. Cream cheese is the goat. It's elite. Okay. Cream cheese frosting is the best.
Yeah.
I don't think that's unique to
Hawaii, I was just asking. I didn't know.
They're so gooey and good. Ugh.
Yeah.
So we had the best cinnamon rolls ever.
Back to my best day ever.
So let me tell you more about what... Just kidding. Okay, go.
So we had that. And then actually a lady on the airplane had given us some like insider tips about beaches and restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
And she said there was this one beach that was like not very popular.
In the north,
near Princeville, that was like pretty like not touristy, but had great snorkeling. For turtles. I did a quick... Because you were just pregnant, like, and you're like, I don't want to get in the water if there's nothing.
I mean, it's a lot of work. So snorkeling, when you're on, there's a couple different ways to snorkel. You can do a boat tour where you like jump off the boat and you snorkel around the boat. And then there's the other way where you have to walk in from the sand, which is really not easy to put flippers on.
It's not easy to do when you're not pregnant, and it's like damn near impossible when you are pregnant.
And so. I'm not really a big, like, walk into the ocean type of gal. I don't know. I love getting into the ocean from a boat where I can just float and tread.
Yeah.
Something about walking in from the sand is a lot of work. Yeah. I don't know.
So we're like, it's not my favorite. Sean, you go in and do like a reconnaissance tour of the area. Sean. And so there's this boy, like probably like half a mile out, and I swim.
Oh, it's a what?
Boy.
What? Shut up. What do you call it?
Boy, I don't know. Boy? Why am I like, I can't think of it. I can spell it.
You are like one of the smartest people I know. Boy? Is it boy?
Why can't I say this word right now?
I don't know.
Say it.
I don't want to. I
want boy. Boy.
Describe what it is.
B-O-U-O-Y. I can spell it.
Describe what it is you're talking about for the people.
Like a floaty thing in the water.
Uh-huh. Like a floaty thing. A boy. About what is this? New Orleans?
My brain just like melted and now I can't think of what it is. A boy.
You're so wrong. There's like colloquialisms. There's like jargon. There's regional.
Just tell me what
accents.
The word is.
You're just wrong.
Just tell me what
there's
the word is.
There's only one way to pronounce this word.
Okay, tell me.
Buoy.
What is wrong with me?
Buoy.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what did he just say? I thought you were saying there was a kid in the water.
It didn't feel right. And I'm just like, I don't know what to say. It's like Moira Rose saying it somehow from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Wow. The water.
Buoy.
The boy. The bebe. The water.
What just happened to my brain?
Are you okay? How many fingers am I holding up?
Yeah, two on each side.
Okay.
That's a weird thing where I'm like, I know how to spell it and I was just reading it in my brain. That's very weird.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard you say. Yeah. Anyway, there and was like, a boy in the water. What else?
I said it. I knew I was wrong and you were making fun of me. And I'm just like, I have no idea how to say it correctly.
I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm just going to embarrass myself on the internet.
Boy. Okay.
You have veins coming out. So I know that when you're tickled.
So tickled.
So I swam out.
I don't even know how you keep telling the story after that.
Swam all the way out there. Didn't see anything. Well, saw one small one. Came back, and all of a sudden there were three massive turtles like right offshore. And I was like, Lauren, get in. We got to go.
Get in. We're going snorkeling.
And then we came back and found them. I think we saw like six.
Yeah, so it's not even very deep. You swim out. That's
it's like four feet
crazy.
Of water.
I've never been to any other place other than Hawaii where you can just kind of waddle out and you're in four feet of water with your fins and your snorkel gear. And you're just trying not to touch the coral reef and you're trying to stay far, like give the turtles breathing room. And I'm like paddling backward. There's just so many turtles just chilling.
Yeah.
And they're huge.
Huge. Like we're talking like 5 feet.
So cool.
Yeah. Like huge turtles.
He must have been 700 years old.
Probably. Then we went to Hanalei, which is this awesome, sleepy little like beach surf town.
Local. Yeah.
Great restaurants, great
tons
shopping. We had done no like shopping up to that point. So we were like, we're going to see every store. And
I think it's time to talk about what the people who are watching the video portion of this really want to talk about. And it's at what point in the story did you buy that puka shell necklace?
On my favorite day.
Yes. So what happened that day that you woke up and you were like, you know what I'm going to do? You know what? Today's the day. Today's the day I bring back puka shells.
I had been hearing that puka shells are coming back. I'd seen some news articles about it and seen it on TikTok and whatnot.
Abercrombie and Fitch newsletter.
Yeah, exactly. And that day at breakfast or where, I can't remember where we were.
We were waiting in line to get coffee at Hanalei Bread Company.
Oh yeah, exactly. So we're waiting in line and there's this kid with like long surfer hair and he's like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And
he looks like one of the kids that would have been in a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen summer movie.
Yeah. And he's wearing a puka shell necklace. And I was like, if that kid can do it, I can do it.
That was it.
I'm bringing it back.
It was a 10-year-old influence.
Yep.
We went immediately to the store for you to just find one.
Yeah. And then we had a maternity photo shoot, which was just so awesome and amazing.
Yeah. We never did an engagement photo shoot. You and I technically have never done a professional photo shoot before.
Yeah.
We've had our photos taken for the wedding.
Right.
Like, we film each other. We take photo Instagram husband type stuff. We have never really taken photos, professional photos together with a photographer. Mm-hmm. This was like our first time.
Yeah. So then ending the day with that, we got this amazing epic sunset. The photographer was super cool. We gelled with him like right away.
I think photo shoots are hard because you sometimes don't know like what to do with your hands, or like smiling is so hard. And it just felt like we were just existing and being playful. Mm-hmm. And then he just happened to catch some great shots.
Well, and like, we hate such traditional posed things.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a couple sneak peeks. We did some things that are a little non-traditional.
Shocking.
I'd like ask the internet, hey, which of these six dresses or, you know, should I wear for the maternity shoot? And then I packed three of them because I wasn't sure, and didn't wear the one that I thought we were going to go with. I didn't even wear, like, literally I was doing my hair. You were about to start steaming the dress.
Oh, I actually did. I spent a lot of time steaming the dress.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, the dress was steamed.
Aww.
Yeah.
I was like, this just doesn't feel like us. Because I was afraid with the maternity shoot that, like, if we wore our traditional, like, loud colors, loud prints, matchy-matchy, I thought it would take away too much from the maternity aspect and make it about the clothes. Mm-hmm. And not about, like, we're about to be parents. I think what we ended up doing was a good happy medium where it wasn't necessarily, it was cohesive. Our outfits were cohesive. They weren't super matchy-matchy. Didn't look like an ad for the clothes. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of fun. And I think my favorite photo is like not at all what you would expect from a maternity photo. So I'm really excited for this.
Look at your face. You're so giddy.
I am. It just turned out so good.
And I mean, so I told you this, like, the whole time that you picked this outfit out for us, I was just like, okay, I'll do it. Like, inside, I'm just like, this feels so weird. This is like unlike anything we've ever worn for anything.
Yeah.
This feels way too traditional. Feels way too normal, but like I didn't want to say no to it. So I was like, fine. And then I
appreciate that.
But I was like, in my mind, I was like, you came to the realization yourself. And I was just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Cause it was just like, the color is just not us. It's really pretty. I was going to go with this like muted pink, dusty rose, metallic dress. And you had a like identical color pair of shorts, and you were going to wear like a white shirt. And that just felt like the very common traditional.
And it would look good. It just didn't match our personalities that well. And like, hey, we would wear that to dinner or something. Yeah. It's not like we would never wear that. But like, if we're commemorating this really, you know, momentous moment in our life,
in this really cool place,
and we're trying to do a non-traditional photo shoot,
yeah,
it probably makes sense to be non-traditional with what we're doing.
That was like super fun. That might be one of my favorite things we did.
In between lunch and shopping and the maternity shoot, we hung out by the pool, which is also amazing. The pool at One Hotel is awesome. And we saw someone.
We saw a celebrity. It wasn't a Kardashian. There's this actress. Her name is Anya Taylor-Joy. She is so freaking talented. You might not know her by name, but you would definitely recognize her face. She was in The Queen's Gambit.
She's been amazing.
In Peaky Blinders. She was in the movie The Menu. She's been in a lot. She's so unique looking. She's stunning. And yeah, she's exactly like that in person.
Yeah. So she's in the pool, like frolicking around with her good-looking husband.
Yeah. Just like, Sean's like, let's go talk to him. And I'm like, no. And you were like, I'm going to call her name. And I was like, don't you dare. Like, because honestly, hadn't like 4 days earlier, we were at the Hyatt and someone called out my name and I like couldn't figure out who, if someone was saying my name or if they were trying to call out a different Lauren.
But you would have gone and talked to them, no problem.
Yeah, but I don't need to maintain like anonymity, like Anya Taylor-Joy, who is probably, if you're like, hey, like, Anya, hey, Anya, and then everyone is like, oh, there's a celebrity here. Like,
I thought we would have been best friends with her and her husband.
I just didn't want to like make her, when she was trying to be. Sure.
It seems like the One Hotel has some sort of like agreement that if you see someone famous there, you're not supposed to like harass them. But we could have gone and played in the pool next to them and been like, oh, you guys are playing in the pool? Do you want to play some volleyball or something?
They were having a very intimate pool experience. I think it would have been weird had we been like, do you guys want to play some volleyball?
I have one regret from this trip, and it's that I did not talk to Anya Taylor-Joy. So is that the first time you've seen a celebrity on vacation or out in the wild?
You know it's not. That brings us to our first transition. Segue. Let's talk about our weirdest celebrity encounters. We live in San Diego, but before we lived in San Diego. I lived in LA for 11 years. And it's funny, people are always like, oh, do you, you know, people come visit and they're like, are we going to run into celebrities? And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, you run into celebrities so easily and subtly that you don't even realize it's like a big thing when you live in that city for so long. Mm-hmm. So when I was going through, I was like, okay, I've had some like really, I am awkward. It's not the fault of the celebrity at all. It is 1000% Lauren Powell, not good at small talk when there is a lot of pressure. When it's a famous person, I shut down. So I actually went through, I was like pulling up all of my weird celebrity encounters, and they're weird because of me. And I kind of gave them some superlatives.
Okay.
So what made me think of us talking about our weird celebrity encounters was you, a couple podcast episodes ago, you didn't realize that one of your favorite gifts that you send, the dude throwing like glitter, you didn't realize that was Rob Hubel.
Yeah.
And I forgot at the time, because it's just wild. My first year in LA, I got hired to like bartend a party at Rob Hubel's like backyard. Am I a bartender? No. No. If you've ever seen my videos, you know I'm not. So I was just like pouring drinks for like him and Paul Scheer and that whole like Comedy Central crew. So that's the most random, my most random celebrity encounter.
Okay.
My most embarrassing celebrity encounter.
I think I know this one.
What do you think? Who do you think it is?
Rob McElhenney?
No, if you can believe it, there's one even more embarrassing than that.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So when I first moved out to LA, I interned. So at UNC Chapel Hill, I was in the screenwriting program and they set you up with a Hollywood internship program for the summer in Hollywood. And so I interned at Ghost Whisperer, which was a show on CBS at the time. Mm-hmm. That was like 2009. One day the assistant was like, I have to go. We were in the like production offices and the assistant was like, hey, I need to step out. Lauren, can you cover the phones? And this sounds easy. Like, just cover the phones. No, phones in a production office are terrifying. Like, someone important is always calling. It's never just answer, take a message. Ugh. I'm like, I'm sitting in Nadia. I'm like, the phone rings. The first phone call, the only phone call I get in the 15 minutes that this assistant had stepped out. I pick it up and she goes, hi, it's Love, which is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Wow.
And she was asking to speak to one of the producers. And I panicked. I jumped up, but I don't even know what I said. Probably like, yes. I just jumped up. I was trying to run to the producer's office. Could I have transferred the call? Probably would have been easier.
Do you understand how telephones work?
Right. I jump up to leave the room. I trip over the phone cord. I pull the plug out of the wall and disconnect the phone. So I unintentionally hang up on Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that like you can't write that.
No,
that's probably in a movie.
If it's somewhere. In a movie, you're like, that is so cliche. That would never happen. Yeah,
no one would ever do that. You did it.
I did it.
Did you find her number and call her back?
No, the assistant came back. I told her what happened. And she just like,
you're fired.
Laughed. No, she was just, she was like interns.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. That's pretty bad.
Okay. So then my most emotional.
Okay.
Do you know this one? Taylor Swift doesn't count because we didn't actually like
meet her.
She was a performer. It's different. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when we were in Cabo?
Oh, yeah.
At the Hillary Duff.
Yeah.
We were at this like small bar.
It is called small bar.
In like downtown Cabo.
Yep.
Like on the marina.
Yep.
I turn around and I'm like, that is Hillary Duff. And she's dancing with like her girlfriend.
It's like a bachelorette party.
And she's at a bachelorette. There's like 15 people in this bar. It is like no one is there. And I was pretty drunk and I just was like, that's Hillary Duff. And I just started crying because I was like, I love her so much. Like, she's one of the people that made me want to become an actress. Like when I watched Lizzie McGuire. We are like 6 months apart in age. I love her. And I wanted to get a photo, but I also knew that she had just had a baby. And so I think she was trying to be, you could tell she was really trying not to be seen and be discreet and try to have her friends like hide her a little bit, probably from me. So that was the first time I've ever cried over a celebrity.
Yeah. That was, I remember this distinctly because I was just like, you're like, hey, it's Hillary Duff. And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, do you want to go say hi? And then you just started crying. And I was like, is that a no? Yeah. Because I'm always like, hey, you know, you know, back then you weren't getting approached on the street or anything, but now like people want to come say hi to you and like you love it and you respond so positively. And I think, you know, maybe
I'm not on the same level.
Of course, of course, of course. But at some point you still appreciate that. And like, in that, that's such a personal setting. Like I'm sure she would have been fine. So I'm always like, let's go talk to him. Let's say, go say hi. But yeah, I remember being like, do you want to go say hi? And you just started crying and I was just like, oh, okay. I guess we won't go say hi.
Actually, my next one, I also cried that I kind of forgot.
Okay.
So this would be the absolute coolest celebrity encounter. I don't know if it counts as an encounter, but we're going to say that it does.
Okay.
This was when, in the middle of COVID, Jennifer Aniston shared one of my videos on her Instagram story.
Yeah.
It was one of my drinking videos. I did like how many glasses of rosé to 0.08, and it just so happened to be one of the drunkest experiments I've ever done.
Yeah.
I just like accidentally got way too hammered in that video and she freaking shared it. And I was just sitting there like in awe. I was like, this can't be happening. I was waiting for her to take it down. I was waiting for her to not realize what she had shared.
Yeah.
Cause it's kind of like edgy for a celebrity to share like a drinking video. Mm-hmm. And then she did take it down, only to put it back up so that she could add a call to action that said, make sure you watch to the end. With a cry emoji or something. And I was just sitting there crying. And I did try to slide into her DMs. She wasn't having it.
She has like 50 million followers.
Yeah.
So that was early in COVID. And like you hadn't really blown
the White
up
Claw,
yet.
The How Many Drinks to White Claw video had blown up.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like the third video I did after that. It's the third thing I tested after the White Claw. So it was very new.
Yeah. I love it. It's just like, hey, mega celebrities are all just like us at home, locked inside, watching videos.
Yeah. I think Jennifer Gardner followed me from that.
Yeah.
Trippy. It was really cool.
You had Simone Biles message you and she wanted to do a margarita video with you.
No, she didn't. She commented and I was like, let's do a margarita video.
You just need to listen to me. We would have so many more celebrity friends if you just let me go talk to people. I'm your like golden retriever husband. Just let me retrieve.
That's adorable. Sit. Okay.
I think to this day, Simone Biles and her husband would be our friends if you had just let me talk to them.
Well, and I was pregnant, so we couldn't even do the margarita.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, you need to just run
so that's the poll that we're going to have for listeners this week. When we encounter a celebrity, is Sean allowed to go talk to them?
Not just a poll in general. If you see a celebrity, should you approach them? What do you think?
I'm not going to be weird about it. I want to be cool.
Okay, if you're going to be cool about it, what do you think? Should you approach a celebrity? Not you, Sean. Not puppy Sean. People in general, what do you think?
Okay.
I have one more. Let me tell you one more.
Okay.
So this would be the biggest like full circle celebrity encounter. Okay. The year is 2009. I'm working at a shitty Italian restaurant in the Valley called Sicily's Italian Kitchen. A lot of celebrities come into there. Don't know why. The food is subpar, average. Come at me, Sicily. No shame. I hate that place. Worst job I've ever had. Anyway, so I was like a takeout server, and one of the people that I had to bring their order out to their car was Caitlin Olson, who is married to Rob McElhenney.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first step. Cut to six months later, I am now working at Fox Digital, who shares a conference room and a kitchen with the production team for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which Rob McElhenney works at, right?
Also Caitlin Olson.
One time I was in the kitchen. I was on this like health kick and I was in the kitchen like cleaning celery or something. Rob walks in.
Cleaning celery.
Yeah. Rob walks in and he's like, celery, huh? And I was like, fuck yeah, celery. And he just was like, oh, he just like backed away. I had a knife in my hand too, because I think I was like going to cut it. Okay. So then the full circle moment is I end up like marrying Rob McElhenney's doppelganger.
Wow. You married me.
You're his doppelganger.
Oh, okay. That's hilarious. Yeah. I did have one time when I was 22 years old, I was backpacking in Florence, Italy, and I was backpacking by myself. And so I had made some friends and I was, you know, wandering the city and we had sat down in this back alley and this guy goes, I think that's Richard Simmons. And we all look and it's Richard Simmons and he's in his full Richard Simmons outfit, like short shorts and tank top. And he hears my my friend, this guy that I was backpacking with, and he stops and he's like, have a great trip, guys. What? And then just like power walks off.
Why does he sound like Mickey Mouse?
He definitely sounded like Mickey Mouse. It was so weird. And like I was chewing food and I couldn't even like get words out of my mouth. It happened so fast. And we all just like looked at each other and we're just like, did we just see Richard Simmons on the streets of Florence? It was so weird, but so funny.
Okay. So this is the I Just Found Out segment. Ooh. There it is.
Yeah.
So I just found out. Okay, we saw Barbie a few weeks ago.
Yep.
You remember Alan, who was played by
Michael Cera,
and Midge, who is the pregnant Barbie that nobody talks about anymore. Mm-hmm. I just found out that Alan was the father to Midge's unborn baby, and they used to package the two of them together.
What?
When you could buy Midge, you could also buy Alan. They were a pair.
What?
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because we said we can't do Ken and Barbie.
We could do Midge and Alan. We did say that.
Unbeknownst to us that there is a relationship there that we didn't know about.
He's the baby daddy.
What? All right. So I just found out, and maybe this is a little weird for a pregnant person, but your nipples are as far apart as your ears, which yours are not right now.
People that are listening to this and not watching, you are missing out.
Lauren just looked down.
I also looked at yours.
Yeah. But generally speaking, most of the population, your ears are as wide as your nipples.
That's just absolutely not true.
That is what the internet said.
Oh, the internet, the trusty old internet. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it.
The science behind this is when you're in the womb and you're like as a baby and you're just like sort of like blah, like coming out.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, you're a little ball, and then things happen, and things come out. Basically, your ears and your nipples come out at the same time.
What?
Or relatively close. And so then your ears in the position of your body and your nipples in the position of your body are growing at, like, relatively the same rate the whole time. And so when you're fully grown, they should be within an inch or two of each other for most people.
I have huge ears.
So you're sort of taking out a couple extra inches, or they're, you know. But yeah,
is fascinating. Can someone verify this or debunk this? I need to know.
Okay.
Okay, I have one more that I learned while we were in Kauai that I thought you would be fascinated to know.
Okay.
I just found out that in order to have a Costco, you have to have a population of 30,000 people. And Kauai, their population is only 56,000. So they only have one Costco on the whole island.
So it's one Costco per
30,000 people.
Huh. Why? What's wild?
I don't know.
Okay, that's really good. I have one more. So we were on a boat tour, and we were looking at the
Boyus. Were we looking at the Boyus?
We were looking at the Nepali coast, and you and I like kept finding faces in the mountains.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, there has to be a term for this, and it's called face pareidolia. And
the term for what? Finding faces in nature? In hills?
Finding faces in inanimate objects, or just anywhere.
So like bologna sandwiches, people find Jesus in their grilled cheeses.
Yeah. Grilled cheeses. Yeah. That's a perfect example of face pareidolia.
Okay. You say that like such an expert. Face pareidolia.
I looked it up and listened to it a few times because I didn't want to sound like a moron about with Boyu.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I can't pronounce Boyu, but I can pronounce face pareidolia.
Make an expert.
So it once was considered exclusively a symptom of psychosis. Like they thought people were seeing faces everywhere. And then they started to study it. And then they realized that like most humans experience this like in their normal life.
Well, that was interesting because we both saw the same face.
Yeah, exactly. So unless you're experiencing.
It was Richard Simmons. Okay, so we get a lot of amazing comments and questions from you guys. One question that I got that I went down a rabbit hole of research for. So Cody asked, do you have a nursery theme picked out for your baby? I highly recommend researching color psychology of a baby's room. Mm. So first of all, we do have a theme. I want to do like a puppy dog theme and also like
exclusively Godric.
All dogs. And I want to keep like a black, white, and wood tone. So I looked into color psychology.
Yep.
You really wanted to do like super bright neon-y colors because that's like our personalities. So orange and yellow can stimulate the mind and have an energizing effect on the body.
Okay.
However, While this is beneficial for growth and development, it's not an advantage when it comes to nightly bedtime showdown with your overly energetic toddler. Thus, warm colors are best used in moderation. Huh. This was super interesting. So red, some studies suggest that physical effects associated with the color red increase athletic ability. Have you heard this? Uh-uh. Like we're talking... Like they have studies where sports teams that wear the color red play more aggressively. Athletes that wear like a red jersey play more aggressively. They did a study during the 2004 Olympic Games examining the effect of the color red in one-on-one boxing, taekwondo, and wrestling. They randomly assigned red or blue clothing to each competitor. Their research found that both male and female athletes in red scored significantly higher in aggression and dominance than the athletes in blue.
Wow. That's wild.
So then I started looking up popular sports teams.
Yeah.
That their main colors are red and they have dominated. Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama football.
Yeah.
Red Sox.
Manchester United soccer.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Red is also associated with increased aggression and inability to focus and headaches. So not a great...
I mean, do we want them to be a world champion or, have some other things? Interesting.
Cool colors have a calming effect on the body and can make your child's room feel spacious and relaxing.
However,
dark, cool colors can evoke all the doom and gloom of an impending storm and should be used in moderation. So that means black. Do I need to get rid of this black wall? I love
it.
Black's
not a color. We're definitely going to leave that silence in just so you can see that we like made eye contact like three times and didn't know where to go from there.
Yeah. Okay. You got nothing. No rebuttal.
Black's a lack of color. So it's not blue. It's not impending doom. It's a lack of color.
Okay. Okay. You're going to have to do some research on that later. Then I was worrying, like, is black and white not the right vibe for a baby's room for development? And it says exposing your newborn to high contrast shapes and patterns is also important to their cognitive development in the first few months. Black and white shapes are best because they can't see color yet.
So perfect. We have a black wall
for 4 months and then we got to paint it.
Okay.
Here's another question from Yvette. Before your pregnancy, when was the last time you went without drinking for an extended period? I'm a new fan to the podcast and to you in general, and I'm loving it here. Yvette, thank you so much for being here. So yeah, when's the last time I went or either of us went without drinking for an extended period? We tried Dry January a few years ago for like health purposes. I think that's what everyone does Dry January for health purposes. I think we gained weight.
We're like not sleeping great.
I think we gained weight because we suddenly were like, let's get ice cream. Let's do desserts with every meal, which we never would do if we had cocktails.
Does that mean we say like addictive personalities?
No, I think it's just like you replace one vice for another. Mm-hmm. Lauren asks, when are you planning on revealing the baby's name?
We are not.
So I always kind of wondered why people were so mysterious about not telling you their baby's name until they're born. And then the flight attendant on the way to Kauai kind of solidified like, oh, I get it. This is why you don't tell people. So I was like, we were pretty firm, like, oh, we're not going to tell friends and family. It's just going to be a surprise. And then the flight attendant was like, do you have a name yet? And I was like, oh, well, we're not telling people. And she's like, who am I going to tell? And I was like, that's a really good point. I guess we can tell you, stranger. And so we tell her and she has like no reaction.
And she's just like, oh.
Just no reaction one way or the other. And I was like, oh, we love this name. You put a lot of pressure on other people to have
a reaction.
And then it's like, that doesn't feel good to not have a reaction at all. I don't ever want to tell anyone ever again. Like there's that.
We're actually never going to call her by name.
Yeah. It's just going to be mysterious. Mm-hmm. Baby Kapow. Or people could have negative associations with that name and you don't want it to be.
Because everyone knows someone. A-hole that has that name.
So. Yeah. So we are not going to tell what the baby name is, but we.
Until it's born.
Yeah. Of course. Yep. And that gives us a chance to kind of play around with other names, play some more name games to see if we're really set on it or not. Speaking of baby names, so a comment from Helby84 on a name suggestion. How about Donna Marine or Donna Mo for short, Domino's Pizza? Donna Mo, Domino.
Domino, wow.
Donna Mo Casey. Yeah. Dynamo. Dynamo.
I was just thinking because like Dominic and Domina are names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. We're on the same page. Okay. This got me thinking about nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have nicknames? Have you ever had a nickname? What are some of your nicknames?
The only nickname I've ever had in my life is from my parents. They called me Shauner Bug because I was very squirmy when I was a child, like a bug. Other than that, I was always just Sean Casey or Casey in sports. But okay. I never had a nickname.
Parents call you Shauners now.
Shauners, yeah, Shauners.
But your friends don't call you Shauners.
They might now. They hear you calling me that. Shauners. I was my friend Nick from England always, because so he would just make fun of the Michigan accent and he'd be like, hey, Shauners.
I call you Shawnee.
Yeah, Shawnee. The internet calls me Shawnee sometimes now because of that. But yeah, I didn't really have a nickname growing up. How about you?
Glad you asked. So in middle school, I gave myself a terrible nickname. So my initials, I'm Lauren Elizabeth Powell. My initials are L-E-P, LEP. And I was like, oh my God, leper. I'm a leper. And I wrote leper on like all sorts of doodles all over my room. And I called myself the leper. I think I wrote a song about being the leper. I had no idea what it meant. A few years went by and I was like, oh, I don't want to be the leper anymore. Nobody corrected me. My parents weren't like, hey, maybe we don't call you a leper.
You're so creative, Lauren. Good job.
Yeah. And then I think I've only ever had like really regrettable self-imposed nicknames. Then in high school, college, my nickname was Popo because my college roommate, we went to high school together. We were really good friends. Her name is Natalie. And so we were Nene and Popo. Our friends in college called us that. And then I realized like, oh, Popo, and outside of Nene and Popo, Popo is the police. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've never had any really good nicknames. It'll be interesting to see. Like, are you supposed to think of possible nicknames when you're choosing a kid's name?
I call you LPC now.
Yeah, I went by LP.
Because I'm SPC, you're LPC. Yeah. Yeah, people call you LP every now and then. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like LP. I remember there was this girl in college. Her name was Lauren. We were friends in our little friend group, and she didn't like that I was Lauren, so she tried to get everyone to call me Low. And I was like, you can't just like have people start calling me Low. Like,
everyone call you Low.
Yeah, you should be Low. M. Thomason 82 says, I know during my two pregnancies, I would get all kinds of advice. What's the strangest, worst advice you felt you have been given so far? I don't think we've been given that much advice in general that we didn't like solicit or ask for. But I will say on our vacation, someone asked how far along I was. And then she goes, you look healthy. And I was like, I don't think that's a compliment. Like, I don't think you should say that to people.
I'm sure she intended that as a compliment. That doesn't seem like, no.
Don't tell a hormonal pregnant woman who just told you how far along they were because their belly is sticking out that they look healthy.
Okay.
I had a couple questions from people asking how we would prefer them to leave us comments or topic suggestions. So there's a couple ways. If you're listening on Spotify, there is a comment section there that I've been pulling great questions from, great topic ideas. Same thing with YouTube. There is a full video portion on YouTube. You can leave your questions in the comment section and I'll pull from there. And then also, if you're just listening and it's easier for you, you can shoot us a DM on the Compower Hours Instagram.
And I created this like handy little bot that, you know, you can click on ask a question and I ask for your name and your email and then you can shoot us the question. And it sort of like makes it easier for us to respond to it. But
Sean had a lot of fun making this like automated bot reply with like gifts and like
it's fun.
Yeah. So go, please go shoot us some DMs and try out our automated bot chatbot.
And just Sean know made. That that's not us replying, but we do monitor that. We actually
it's not can us replying, reply. But Sean did write it.
Yeah.
So it is us.
But then we can also jump in and reply at any point. So like the bot is very limited because it just wants your question. That's it. But
Sean just wants you to go play with this bot.
Yeah. Please go play with my bot.
So now it's time to do the capositives.
Yeah, you're getting better.
On fire. Okay, my capositive or my love of the week. This is a section of the podcast, if you're new, where we just talk about the things that we recommend, whether it is a book or a TV show or something we bought we totally recommend other people purchase. This is completely unsponsored. My compositive of the week is Costco travel.
Yeah.
So if you didn't know, you can book, if you're a Costco member, I don't even know, maybe you don't have to be.
I think you have to be. Yeah.
You can book pre-made travel packages that Costco has on their website. However, you can actually call them and tell them what your trip is if they don't have exactly what you want. And they can potentially put together a package for you that still saves you money.
Yeah, it's a customized package.
It's insane. So we knew the flights that we wanted. We knew the hotel that we wanted to stay at. We knew we wanted a rental car. We knew how much those three things were going to cost us without, before Costco. And so we picked up, we told them what flight we wanted. We told them what hotel we wanted and the car we wanted. And they came in $2,000 less than what we would have paid if we had booked it ourselves.
It's wild because like we had been doing a ton of research and like we were ready to book.
Yeah.
And we're like,
this was the cheapest. The number that we came up with on our own was the cheapest, most economical like
way we could.
It was already saving a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then Costco, they don't really tell you the breakdown of what was airfare, what was hotel. Yeah. But I was like, I don't even care. It's $2,000 less than my total that I'd come up with on my own. So that was huge. And then you get all these different perks at each hotel too. Like we got a $200 resort credit that the hotel wouldn't have offered. We got free parking.
They cover a lot of the fees.
You get a gift card from Costco.
Yep.
I guess we should... Alex has been waiting for her moment, her shout out on the podcast. We got this idea from our friends who just did their honeymoon in Tahiti and Bora Bora, and they booked it through Costco Travel, and they were raving about it, and they were right.
Good job, Alex.
Good job.
My compositive of the week is a brand called Roosevelt's, RSVLTS.com.
Is it just Roosevelt's without any of the vowels?
Yeah.
Just occurred to me.
Yeah. That was the outfit that we wore to Hawaii. They do a ton of really fun prints.
For guys.
They have a few matching things for women, fun hats.
Sean gets a lot of messages from female listeners or people on my Instagram that are just like, my husband would love that shirt. Where did you get it? Yep. I get the same. I get those comments too. So if you have someone in your life who likes loud patterned shirts, definitely check out Roosevelt's.
Yep.
They're pretty like moderately priced, right? Like 60 bucks for a shirt.
I'd say that's probably like on the more expensive side, but it's comfortable. It's high quality.
It's unique. It's unique patterns.
Right, exactly. So it's like if you're willing to pay a little extra for unique stuff that you're not getting anywhere else, definitely check them out.
Okay. Well, this is a longer one since we took a week off for a baby moon. So I wanted to make sure that we came back with kind of like a double length podcast for you.
And we spent a lot of time laughing at my pronunciation of
10 minutes buoy. Of just boyo. Boyo. That is like when she sings...
Bye,
Danny you know. Boy, that's yeah. what it's. That's it's Danny Boy. That's what Danny it's from. Boy, oh. Anyway,
well, if you haven't watched Schitt's Creek, go watch that.
That's another composite.
You'll understand.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys as always for listening. Whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you're watching on YouTube, wherever it is that you get your podcast, we appreciate you so much. I'm also gonna try to start adding if there are links to the things that we're recommending. Or start a list of the books and TV shows and all these things. I'm going to start adding those to the Kapower Hour Instagram story highlights. So you should be able to go back through and check out what we recommended each week. And yeah, which please, thank please you. Go. That was a suggestion from one of you guys. So appreciate that.
Please go talk to my bot.
Please go talk to Sean's bot. All right.
All right.
We are
Kapout.